Our second reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, commencing at verse 13, and is found on page 969. These are the words of Jesus teaching his disciples. Matthew 5, starting at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please do keep that second reading there in Matthew chapter 5 in front of us on page 969. That's what we're going to be focusing on together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you speak to us today through your word in the scriptures. Help us to hear your voice, to take it to heart, and together to be changed by it. Amen. Now, many big companies have a mission statement which sums up their purpose in the world. If I give you two mission statements of big household names, I wonder if you'll be able to guess which company they're from. The first one is this. Our mission is to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. What company would have a mission like that? Well, the answer is Microsoft. Thought they had enough on their hands sorting out the problems with Windows 10, but no, they want to empower and all of us. Or here's my second mission statement. Our mission is to refresh the world in mind, body, and spirit. What household name would have that as their mission statement? Who said it? That is correct, Becca. The answer is Coca-Cola. I must tell you, other soft drinks are available, and other sources of spiritual refreshment are certainly also available. Now, I think those mission statements are a bit exaggerated, a bit over the top, but they do serve a purpose, don't they? They help the company pull together in the same direction. And so this Congregation Sunday, I want us to think about our mission, the mission which God has given us as his church. Now, there's no one passage in the Bible that sums up all of God's mission for his people. Last year, we drew up a mission statement here at St. Mary's, trying to draw together a number of the different themes that we see in the Bible. And this is what we came up with. Our mission is to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. And under that, we have three essentials: dependent prayer, because we depend on God for everything; biblical teaching, the Bible is God's word, through it he nourishes us; and then loving one another. Now, that's how we show that we are disciples of Jesus. Those are our essentials. And then we have three priorities: to engage Maidenhead with the gospel of Jesus, to grow mature disciples of Jesus from every age and background, and also to partner with other churches to make Jesus better known. That's our mission here at St. Mary's, to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. And today I want us to focus particularly on that first priority, engaging Maidenhead with the gospel of Jesus. During the Second World War, the Archbishop of Canterbury was William Temple, and he said this: "The church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members." Actually, a very true and very thought-provoking statement. We exist not for our own benefit, but for the glory of God and for the good of those who are not yet our members. Now, it's wonderful to see all of the outreach that's going on at St. Mary's. But actually, a danger for any church is that we turn in on ourselves. The danger is that we become more concerned with our own needs than the needs of the world around us. And that's why this Congregation Sunday, we're thinking particularly about God's mission for us together as far as the world out there is concerned. And there's no better place to look than Jesus' famous words in the Sermon on the Mount that we read in Matthew chapter 5. It's important to note who Jesus first said these words to. If we look back at Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2, we see this. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying. So here is Jesus teaching his disciples, those who have committed themselves to following him. And he teaches them what it means to be a member of his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. In verses 1 to 12, he speaks about the character that the members of his kingdom have, Christian character. And then in verses 13 to 16, our verses, he speaks about the impact that the members of his kingdom have on the world around us, Christian impact. And we're going to see in these verses two things in particular that Jesus has given us as our mission together. First of all, then, together we are the salt of the earth. It's verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Now, salt was used in the ancient world for many purposes, as a flavoring for food, of course, also used in small doses as a fertilizer, but above all, it was used as a preservative to stop meat rotting. Of course, it's before tin cans, before fridges, and Jesus' first hearers would have known this, because some of them were fishermen, and they used to pack their fish in salt in order to preserve them and stop them rotting. Now, we Christians have the same role. We are to be the preservative in the world around us. We know from Scripture that the world has turned away from God. The world wants to be independent of God and certainly not under his authority. But the problem is God is the sustainer of all goodness. Without God, such good values as truth and justice and compassion, well, they start to break down. And Jesus wants us, his people, to be in the world as the preservative to slow down the decay of the world around us. Now, please notice in verse 13, Jesus does not say, if you try really hard, you will be the salt of the earth. Nor does he say to his disciples, some of you are the salt of the earth. No, he says, you are the salt of the earth. There's grace here. We come to Jesus as rebels and as weak people. And when we put our trust in him, he gives us this new identity. Together, we are the salt of the earth. It's our Jesus-given identity. Now, there are two things that are vital to being effective as salt. One of them is that we're mixed in with the world. That's implied in the metaphor Jesus uses. The salt was no good if it remained in the sack. No, it had to be rubbed onto the meat to have any effect. And so, too, Christians need to be mixed in with the world. A few years ago, I attended a friend's wedding, and that friend was a vicar. And many of us at the wedding were ministers. And in the speeches after the wedding, the father of the bride, who was a farmer, stood up. And he said, my new son-in-law is a vicar. Many of you here are vicars. I have always found that vicars are like manure. I was horrified to hear such hostility expressed in a celebration. But he went on to say, yes, gathered together in one place, vicars are a terrible mess. Spread them out over a wide area, though, and they do a power of good. Well, then I could understand what he was saying. But actually, it's not just true of vicars, is it? It's true of all Christians. Now, it's not one of the metaphors that Jesus uses here, but Christians, we are manure. To do the world good, we need to be mixed in with the world around us. Now, we're part of quite a big church. There's quite a lot going on at St. Mary's. The danger is that as time goes on, we spend less and less time with those who are not yet believers. Actually, thinking about this has been a real challenge to me personally on that front. It's so important to think, what opportunities do we have for real relationship with those who don't yet know Jesus? Now, it may be in our families. It may be in the workplace. Perhaps by joining a club or society in town in addition to the church. But brothers and sisters, we need to be investing time and love, not only in each other, but in the world out there. If we're going to be effective as salt, we need to be mixed in with the world. But there's another thing that's vital as well to be effective salt, and that is we need to be distinctive. And this is what Jesus really stresses in verse 13. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. If salt stops being salty, it's useless. If, as Christians, we stop being distinctive and different from the world around us, well, we become useless too. In today's culture, I think Christian believers are under such pressure to fit in with the world around us, to have the same opinions, the same priorities, the same lifestyle as everyone else. But can you see Jesus is saying here, to be any use to him, to be any use in the world, we must be distinctive. We must be different from the world around us. Now, these verses follow straight on from Jesus' teaching on the Christian character. That's what makes us salty, having a distinctive Christian character. That means, verse 3, being poor in spirit, humble before God, knowing that we need him. It means being those who mourn, so not delighting in sin, but being grieved by our own sin and the sin in the world around us. It means, verse 5, being those who are meek, being humble before men as those who are here to serve. It means hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being deeply passionate to be becoming more like Jesus in his beautiful righteousness. Verse 7, being merciful, compassionate to those who wrong us or those who are in need. Verse 8, being pure in heart. Now that means being wholehearted, not trying to please the world and Jesus, being wholehearted in living for Christ. And being peacemakers, bringing reconciliation when we can. That distinctive character, which Jesus is growing in us if we trust in him, that's what makes us salty. And I want to encourage us, it's not just super Christians who have a preservative effect in the world. No, together we are the salt of the earth, every believer. Consider, for example, the Christian woman or man who works in an office. She tries not to snap at other people when she's under pressure. She's rigorous in her job, but she's also kind to that new junior who doesn't know what they're doing. She admits it when she's got something wrong so the blame isn't passed to others. She doesn't laugh and joke about that affair that's developing in the office like the others. No, she's concerned about it and gently discourages it. She makes time for the person who needs to talk, even when she's under great pressure. Now, that's not a description of a super Christian. It's a description of someone who wants to put God's word into practice in their life and who wants to have a Christ-like character. And the encouragement here is that that person is having a preserving effect on that office. Those godly values of truth, of compassion, of respect are being preserved in that office because of the believer who is living a distinctive life. Now, it's not something we do on our own. One grain of salt doesn't preserve the whole fish. One Christian doesn't preserve a whole community. It needs all of us. Together, we are the salt of the earth. Well, that's not the only part of the mission that Jesus has given us. We are also the light of the world. Together, we are the light of the world. Let me read 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, light in the Bible stands for truth, and for goodness, It stands for relationship with God. It stands for life itself. And our job as believers is to bring those things into this dark world that does not know God. Now, it is amazing that Jesus gives this title to his followers, because you may know elsewhere in the Gospels, in John chapter 8, Jesus says this of himself. Do you remember Jesus said, "I am the light of the world"? And now he says to us, his people, "You are the light of the world." Now, it's Jesus who brings God's truth, God's life, relationship with God into this dark world, but now he shines his light through us, his people. What a privilege, what a responsibility. Together we are the light through which Jesus is shining. And notice again in verse 14, he doesn't say, "You should be the light of the world." He doesn't say, "Some of you, especially gifted evangelists, are the light of the world." No, he says to all his people, "You are the light of the world." This is the identity that Jesus has given us. Now, the challenge in being the salt of the earth was to be distinctive in a world that wants us to be the same. The challenge of being light of the world is to be open about our relationship with Jesus in a world that wants us to be silent. It's what Jesus stresses in 14 and 15 again. "A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. They may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Now, on Friday lunchtime, I walked up to the home base to have a look at the light fittings and lampshades department. Let me tell you, there's an amazing variety there. Chandeliers with sort of bits of crystal hanging around. More sort of avant-garde affairs, great copper spider's webs that you put your light in. Very modern things with prongs with LEDs on jutting out. But one thing that every single light fitting and lampshade had in common in that shop is they were designed to let the light out. There is not one which is a sort of black cube that just keeps it all in. I don't think that's available anywhere. That's what Jesus is saying of his people. Let your light shine before men. Now, our culture tells us that our faith is a private matter and shouldn't be mentioned at work or in public. But can you see in these verses, Jesus is saying the exact opposite. He's saying, be open about your relationship with me. Let your light shine. Well, what does it mean in practice? It probably doesn't mean standing on the desk at work tomorrow morning and shouting, "Repent, repent, the end is nigh." What does it mean? Well, it starts with finding ways that work for us of letting people know that we have a relationship with Jesus. My wife would be mortified to be used as an example. She works in adult education, and at the start of every course, all of the tutors have a few minutes where they say something about themselves, just so the students can get to know them. And she always mentions, amongst other things, that she's actively involved in the church. And almost without fail, as that week course goes on, there'll be one or more people coming to ask questions about the Christian faith. Just finding ways that work for us to let people know that we have a relationship with Jesus. Another way of doing it is to try to be the one who people come to for support. And part of the support we offer is to say, "Would you mind if I pray for you?" We can say, "We find a huge privilege of bringing our cares to God. Would you mind if I pray for you?" We're letting our light shine. Also, sharing bits of what makes us tick as followers of Jesus. Perhaps not too much, just little bits. I heard of one man, he was having a pint with his friend, and both of them had elderly relatives who had really become very frail. And the one man was a Christian, and his elderly relatives were Christians as well. And he just said, "It's really hard, isn't it? But actually, my parents are believers, and they have confidence for the future because Jesus rose again." Just a way of sharing something about what makes us tick, letting our light shine. Now, when we're open like that about our relationship with Jesus, some people won't like it. Just before, in verses 10 to 12, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness." If we're open about our faith, some people will reject us. We may be passed over for promotion. but we will be obeying Jesus. And the light of God, the truth and the life of Jesus will be shining out from us. Now, once again, the yous here are all plural. Jesus is saying, you, plural, are the light singular of the world. It's together that we shine as the light of the world. I've been really encouraged by reading on a website, the Gospel Coalition website, the testimony of a man called Beckett Cook about how he came to faith. He explains how he became a Christian in 2009. He was living and working as a set designer for the fashion industry in Los Angeles. Now, I can't actually imagine what that involves, but maybe you can. It sounds very impressive. And at that time, he was partying with Prince and with Paris Hilton. He was spending his summers with Drew Barrymore. I'm not sure who they are, but it sounds fantastic. But he says he had an empty feeling. And this is what he dreamed of all his life long to that day. And he had it, and he still felt empty. And then he talks about how he went to a coffee shop one day, and he saw on the table next to him a group of young people, and they had Bibles in front of them. They were talking about the Bible. And because of that empty feeling, he went over and he talked to them. And he describes how warm and welcoming they were, how it struck him. They honestly answered his questions. There are a number of things in Beckett Cook's lifestyle that made the message of Christianity very challenging to him. They kindly and honestly answered his questions. They invited him along to church. That Sunday he went, he received a warm welcome. He heard the message of Jesus preached. To his amazement, he found himself giving his life to Jesus. And then people got alongside him and started to nurture him in the faith. Now, the reason I mention Beckett Cook's testimony is it's an example of God's people together being the light of the world. Do you notice how many people, how many Christians were involved in sharing the truth of Jesus with him? Now, if you're a Christian person here today, I bet your testimony is like him. Perhaps not so much of the partying with Prince and Paris Hilton, but I bet your testimony involves many different Christians being open with you about their relationship with Jesus. Together, we shine as the light of the world. Now, we want to really help each other with this. Just this week is going onto the website a podcast with ideas about how we share our testimony, our story of faith with people. Do look out for that podcast. You may be thinking, I would find it absolutely impossible to speak about Jesus. Well, actually, I first went on Christianity Explored as a Christian believer, but it was there that I started to learn how to speak about Jesus. A great way to get started is to attend that course. Start to get ideas how we can let our light shine. And let's think, how do we work together to share the message of Jesus? One really good thing to do is to get our non-believing and our Christian friends together socially. Often as people meet many Christians, they start to ask questions, start to feel comfortable coming along here to things at church. It's also the great value of these events we have coming up, the Women's Breakfast, the Rugby World Cup. If people come, they'll hear something of Jesus, but not only that, they'll see many different people whose lives are being changed by Jesus Christ. Our longing is on Sundays we'll have many inquirers, friends, neighbours, family members coming with us to church. We're not a gathering for the convinced believers only, but a place where people can come and see the light of Jesus shining, not from one person, but from all of us together. What an extraordinary mission Jesus has given us. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Important to notice that those two things go together. Both our life and our words are needed. It's really tempting to say to ourselves, isn't it? I'll be the salt and you be the light. Or I'll be the light and you be the salt. But Jesus is saying to all of his followers, both. Now, the life lived without the words, well, people won't understand why we're living that way. The words shared without the life, just an annoying noise. Now, it's when the distinctive life and the open words come together that, as Jesus says in verse 16, men may see your good deeds and praise not you, but your Father in heaven. Now, Microsoft and Coke have those very ambitious, I think a little over the top mission statements, to empower every person and every organization on the planet, to refresh the world in body, mind, and spirit. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has given us an identity which is just as exciting as that, but is actually realistic. If we're trusting Jesus Christ, together we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. Oh, Jesus knows our weaknesses individually. He knows our weaknesses as a church. So often we are struggling and suffering in life. We're all sinful. Often we're stuck for words. Jesus knows all of that. But because of him, we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. It is a colossal privilege and responsibility to be mixed in with the world, making the most of those relationships with those who don't know Christ yet. To be distinctive, not chameleons who blend in with the world, but Christians who have a distinctive Christ-like lifestyle. And to be open about our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, as together we let our light shine, God will use us as his light in this world to bring his truth to men and women and boys and girls so that they too can know the life and the light that is in Jesus Christ. I cannot think of a greater privilege that we could share than that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace to us. You know that we are very rebellious people. You also know all of our weaknesses, our struggles, our suffering. And yet if we have come to you and put our trust in you, you have given us this extraordinary shared identity. Thank you that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world because of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, for our tendency to sort of turn in on ourselves, sometimes be more concerned about our own needs as a church and the world out there. Help us instead to be mixed in, to be distinctively Christ-like, and to let our light shine for him.